We just have to bring the land wagon up to the house. Get it parked safely up back. Abe, you can do that.
Sure.
Abe vanished at a quick trot around the side of the building.
All the rest of us can move inside and get some lamps lit and take us a room-by-room look around. Doc, you and,
Suki.
Both of her fists were clenched tight in the pockets of her divided skirt. Ryan nodded.
Right. You two best go and wait in your room, Doc. The rest of us can search carefully.
I would prefer it if you ceased treating us like a pair of country clodhoppers. We can search for clues as well, Ryan. We are not totally stupid, you know.
All right. Time's passing and the darkness is coming down on top of us.
The house loomed over them like a gaunt, ghostly sepulcher. The windows shadowed. Blank eyes staring down at the small group. Ryan turned for a moment back to the stranger among them.
You sure about there not being any sort of message for us?
I said so.
It is more than a remote possibility that Christie or one of the others could have placed a letter for us explaining precisely where they are within the house, Ryan, my old friend.
Doc moved a pace to stand next to the woman and placed a protective arm around her shoulders.
Sure. Sorry, Doc. Sorry, Suki.
We will go into my room and keep out of your way, Ryan.
Fine.
Ryan watched them vanish into the kitchen. JB was about to lead the way inside the house when he stopped, his eyes caught by something. He peered down at the lapel of his jacket.
Dark night.
What?
Rad counters. Just look at your rad counter.
Ryan did so, angling it to catch the last fading rays of the setting sun. For a moment, the rich crimson light confused him, and he moved the little counter again, tilting it to make sure what he was seeing.
It's right around into the red. That means we're all standing in one of the biggest radiation hotspots that I ever saw.
Mine shows the same. Can't all have malfunctioned at the same time. Not even shading in the orange. It's way off the top of the danger scale.
For a few moments, the three friends stood still, looking at one another, each trying to work out what freakish combination of circumstances could have brought what was known as the Silent Death to this secure, isolated place.
It doesn't make sense.
JB wiped a finger over the counter and shook it, checking it again.
Same.
Ryan looked around.
Fire blast. What the hell is going on here?
Deathlands Trader Redux is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2007, James Axler. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, M.B. Van Dorn, Kate Torrey, Dylan Lynch, Ken Jackson, Michael Glenn, Barbara Pinellini, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Ken Jackson. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Greg Reinfeld, Brian Rogers, and Kyle Univer. Graphic audio sound design by Greg Reinfeld, Chris Rowan, and Kyle Univer. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Matt Webb, Johann Detweiler, and Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Mark Delgado. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Available now from Graphic Audio. Blood Bond, number one.
Bodine unbuckled his gun belt and laid it on a log. Two wolves did the same. As he was straightening up, Bodine hit him in the mouth with an uppercut that stood two wolves up on his toes. Bodine followed that with a hard, straight left to the belly. Two wolves hit the ground and rolled, coming up fast and with a fistful of sand, which he tossed in Bodine's eyes. With Bodine momentarily blinded by the sand, two wolves busted him in the mouth with a hard fist and then brought a left around that landed solidly against Bodine's jaw. Bodine went down and grabbed two wolves' ankles, spilling him to the sand. The men wrestled for position, and with neither able to get the upper hand, the men fought on their knees in the damp sand until two wolves connected with a hard right to Bodine's jaw, knocking him back. Two wolves jumped at him, and Bodine put up a boot, catching two wolves in the chest and propelling him over his head. Two wolves landing on his belly in the sand. Bodine scrambled to his boots just as Two Wolves was getting up on his hands and knees and jumped on Two Wolves' back, riding him back down to the sand, his brother's head in a hammerlock. Two Wolves bit down on Bodine's finger. Bodine lost his grip on Two Wolves' head. Two Wolves broke free and grabbed Bodine, throwing him to the ground. Bodine kicked his brother on the knee, and Two Wolves staggered back as Bodine lurched to his feet. The two went at it, standing toe-to-toe and slugging it out. On a hill above the river, a band of Sioux sat their ponies and watched the men fight. They had been out hunting for food and were pleased with their efforts, so they let the naked gun hands ride on, thinking it a funny sight. Wolf going away shook his head in disgust.
What do you suppose they were fighting about?
I think Two Wolves has gone crazy since Medicine Horse ordered him to adopt the white man's ways. They're a very strange people, you know.
You son of a bitch! Jealous bastard!
Bull Bear looked at the others in the band.
Jealous? Of what? What does one brother have that the other wants?
Bodine got up and knocked Two Wolves down, then stepped back, catching his breath. Standing alone, tipped his head, watching.
They're not really fighting to hurt the other.
I have seen enough.
He heeled his horse forward, the others following. Bodine and Two Wolves were flailing away at each other when the hunting party rode up.
Stop this! I will have no more of this!
Well, he started it.
Silence! Your father's brother took my sister for a wife, so you will obey me. Silly young men. Is there not enough blood being spilled over this land without you two adding to it?
Bodine pointed a finger at Two Wolves.
He's a liar!
Be quiet. You have shared my lodge and my fire and eaten my food. Now, I ask only that you respect my right to speak.
Bodine and Two Wolves sat on the wet sand and glared at each other. Fat Bear dismounted, picked up a stick, and beat both of them on the back, showing them his contempt for their childish behavior. With that, he jumped back on his horse and rode off, the others following him. As they passed, they refused to look at Bodine or Two Wolves, another sign of contempt. Bodine got to his feet and felt his stinging back.
Oh, that old man still swings a pretty mean stick.
You deserved it.
Bodine looked at him, smiled, and then flattened him with a right to the mouth. They had fought all over the bank, churning up the sand, fought out in the river and back, each one doing their best to drown the other, and were on the bank, still flailing weakly away at each other, when an army patrol led by Sergeant McGuire rode up.
All right, men, break them up!
Bodine and Two Wolves collapsed from exhaustion on the sands. They could barely move. McGuire dismounted and squatted down beside them.
I don't suppose one of you would like to tell me what this is all about.
It's personal.
I thought it might be. You intend to lie here by the river all day?
The sun does feel nice.
How the hell did you get those marks on your backs, boys?
Fat Bear came by and was disgusted with us. He beat us for our disgraceful behavior.
The Sioux war chief came by and he beat you both. Are you two going to start fighting when we leave?
No.
Private, drag them over there by their horses. Lone Dog's up in Montana, so they'll be all right. Let's go. We've got to make the Fork of the Clear and the Crazy Woman before dark. Fat Bear came by and beat you. I'd have given a bottle of whiskey to see that.